It's 4:30 on June 3rd, and you're in central Indiana, and you're tuned to 91.9 FM WITT, the home of unpredictable music, and the Indy's Trusted Servant Show. And since it's 4:30 Wednesday, you're tuned to the Indy's Trusted Servant Show with yours truly, Daniel Malia, Indy's Trusted Servant. What is Indy's Trusted Servant? Well, I do customer service training and keynote speaking about customer service. It's all about the culture of the organization. If you're interested in learning more, feel free to give me a call at 317-413-9062. What's the Indy's Trusted Servant Show? I like to describe it as lively, local, small biz and community talk where you can feel the pulse of Indy. And speaking of community talk, today's guest is City Councilwoman Krista Carlino. And we were going to talk about Marion County opening back up, and we're still going to talk about that. But now we've got even more to talk about. So Krista Carlino, welcome to the Indy's Trusted Servant Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Danny, and for all of your work and communicating all these years. I really appreciate you. It's a pleasure to be a guest and an honor to serve our city.
Thank you very much. Give us a little bit about Krista Carlino's background and how you got to be a city councilwoman. Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? What'd you study? And how did you get into politics and all of that?
Sure. Yeah, Danny. So I'm a lifelong West Sider. I was raised by a single mom.
Ben Davis
High School. Okay. My husband and I both, absolutely. Still live and work in the community. I serve as a full-time librarian in the MSD of Wayne Township, where I, again, graduated. Been a community activist and just really a people person my entire life serving. I remember growing up, my mom would take us to the Ronald McDonald House, and we would serve breakfast to the families at the Ronald McDonald House on Christmas morning before we opened the first gift. So I would have to just throw it back to the damn good mom I was raised by, right here in central Indiana.
God bless her.
That's it. And of course, I'm a white woman. I've experienced a lot of privilege in my life, but I've also experienced a lot of discrimination. And I know issues really close to my heart are what led me into the classroom to educate. I studied English, language arts, as well as psychology at the University of Indianapolis on the south side of Indianapolis.
Not far from here.
No, I'm a legacy at the University of Indianapolis. My maiden name, Danny, is Noblitt, N-O-B-L-I-T-T. You may, if you're from southern Indiana, specifically in the Columbus, Indiana area, Noblitt family is pretty prominent down there. But the Noblitts were also the family who paid the mortgages on the buildings at the University of Indianapolis back when it was Indiana Central through the Great Depression.
In the Depression. Wow,
yeah,
that's really cool.
There's still a Noblitt Observatory in the science building where you can go and view the stars there at the university. My great uncle built the first telescope on campus.
So no kidding.
We're kind of nerdy, but we love Indiana. Indianapolis. We love our people.
You're young enough that it was probably the University of Indianapolis.
When I went, it was, correct. So
I'm 33. I'm good friends with Dr. Gene Cease.
Okay, the C-Swing. Yes. I spent a lot of time there. Just a wonderful philanthropist as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So studied English, studied psychology, graduated from UND, went on to earn a master's degree in teaching from Marion University.
Uh-huh.
I'm also a licensed school building administrator, so I could be a principal, assistant principal. But
I have a daughter who's a principal.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Awesome. We'll have to talk about that some more because it's a big job being a school administrator, especially right now during the COVID pandemic. So my heart goes out to her and all students and teachers right now who are navigating this.
Before we get off that, the library is not open for visitors yet, right?
So the public library here in Indianapolis is doing some curbside services.
That's it.
Yep,
yeah.
But facilities are not open, much like our city parks. Those indoor facilities are remaining closed at this time.
Jumping ahead a little bit,
sure,
because we want to talk about opening up. Any idea when the library will open?
So the targeted date for the city itself, the city buildings, if you will, to sort of reopen is June 22nd. And again, that's just a targeted date.
Right.
I do know some of the courts are looking to resume services in a limited capacity as soon as June 15th.
Okay. Now, you graduate from U of Indy, you're a librarian.
Yep.
How'd you get involved in politics?
I just got involved in politics at first, just engaging voters to register and be voters, letting their voice be heard. So initially, my work was on the ground. I'm a precinct committee woman. Basically, my job as a precinct committee woman is to make sure all my neighbors are registered to vote, to make sure they know when the elections are, to make sure that they know, for example, right now, we just had an election and we had to really scale back on our voting locations. It's my job to communicate, here are the new locations, here are the new hours, here's how you can vote by mail and all of those things. So as an educator, as an English major, I'm a communicator, as part of what's at the heart of my skill set, if you will. And so that's where I sort of took up the mantle in politics, just civic engagement.
Yeah.
I didn't get political, if you will, or identify with a party on paper until probably 2016 or 2017.
Okay.
But have been an active voter my entire life. And I actually still vote at the local school where I cast my first vote all those years
That's
ago.
That's pretty cool. You should know that I'm a West Sider myself, but more
that.
In the city. 30th and Tibbs.
Yep.
Is where I grew up.
That's where my husband grew up.
And I was in walking distance to the track, and this year will be my 60th Indy 500 if they let me go see it.
I'm counting down the days until August. I'm a 500 Festival Princess alumni.
You are.
So back in 2007, I served in the 500 Festival.
Let me. Sam Hornish.
Actually, that was not Sam Hornish's year. It was the year that... oh gosh, Dario Franchitti won, and it was raining.
It was rain.
Uh-huh. And Ashley Judd ran down pit lane with no shoes on or something.
Yeah. Okay, cool. 60 Indy 500s. I've been to every one since 1959, except for two of them.
Okay.
One I had a final exam in college, and one I had an eye injury. So.
Those are good reasons, right?
Those are good reasons.
Yeah,
yes.
I've lived on the West Side forever. My mom, growing up, I can't tell you how amazing of a lady she is, but every year for Mother's Day, she's just like, I just want to go to the track. That's what she asked for.
That's
and
really
so,
cool.
So she raised me right there, too. Definite gearhead over here.
Well, speaking of local stuff and COVID, the Speedway and the Speedway High School thing, how cool was that?
Man, you know, hats off to, you know, first of all, I have not had a chance to formally welcome Roger Penske, but I'm so excited to have him
in part
and parcel with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Of course, IMS is in my district on the west side as well. And so just anything we can do to celebrate that and keep that great institution going is definitely part of what I want to focus on. But gosh, isn't Doug Bowles also an amazing president there? Just wonderful working with the schools. And it was just emotional.
Oh, my
watching
gosh.
That. I mean, I have goosebumps right now thinking about it, Danny.
Well, you know,
gosh, it was great.
I live in Carmel, and Carmel High School did the same thing on their track at their field for their seniors.
Yeah.
I figure they got the idea from the Speedway.
Yeah, and we've got large numbers right there at Carmel, Ben Davis High School, and some of the large area high schools. So I know we have our graduation ceremonies happening virtually this weekend.
That's such a bummer.
We also, though, have sort of a drive-through staging similar to what was happening at the track. And of course, you know, making it optional. There are still families out there and students who have COVID, who are recovering and who are still very much entrenched in this pandemic. And so, you know, our hearts are with them and we need to make sure that we help them recover as quickly as possible. And,
We want to get into the recovery of Marion County, the economic recovery of Marion County. We'll take a quick break to thank our host here for the studios of 91.9, and that is My Pet Carnivore, a pet food distribution warehouse on South Shelby Street in Fountain Square, where Paul and Suzanne and their very busy staff distribute healthy frozen dog and cat food to dog and cat food lovers in 48 states. And they're going to be a guest in a couple of weeks to talk about how COVID has impacted their business. That'll be very interesting in specific terms. We're going to talk in more general terms. We just one of my last guests before we had to start doing reruns was the owner of the Slippery Noodle Inn. This was before all heck broke loose. And he talked in great terms about how much a bar like the Slippery Noodle Inn, for instance, counts on the convention business. Not
100%.
Just local business, but convention. And so I've talked to Hal Yagi since that show, and he is chomping at the bit to get that convention business back. And, of course, what's happening now is slowing everything up. But let's talk about Marion County and what the plans are to reopen. This week was to be the reopening for the restaurants outdoors.
Absolutely.
Right?
And we saw, you know, with the past weekend, you know, devastating acts of violence, but we also saw, you know, amazingly peaceful protests and solidarity that had just wonderful conversations. But it's, you're exactly right. When the mayor of Indianapolis has to institute a curfew right in the middle of dinner time, right, Danny?
I know.
Mean, 8 p.m. on a Saturday
night. Right
when
they're supposed to have their first great time.
Absolutely. Yep. And it's the business owners, it's the waiters and waitresses who work for those tips who are losing. And then, of course, now their businesses are being demolished. And so from the city perspective, I can tell you we're already having conversations from the mayor's office all the way down to the council on how we can provide some sort of effort. Right now, I know, you know, every day there seems to be new damage, and I just applaud our folks at our Department of Public Works coming out, the city. Thank you to the mayor for allowing not just those employees, that physical presence to come help with the cleanup, but that, because that labor is critical.
Oh.
I can't imagine the pounds and pounds of glass that has been cleaned up in our city this week, and it's just so disheartening.
It is very disheartening. We'll come back to that.
Okay.
But let's talk about the general plan for reopening.
Sure.
First. What else is on the horizon if you take the damage out of it? And there are areas of town where they can reopen, right?
Absolutely.
You know, outside the Mile Square. So restaurants right now that are not in the Mile Square can be open, but just outdoors, right?
Starting June 1st, indoor capacity was allowed to reopen.
Indoor, okay.
50%.
At 50%.
And that includes
right.
outdoor. So let's say you originally had 600 seats combining your indoor and outdoor seating.
No, it's three.
You can only have 300, correct.
Okay.
So if you had 30 out on the patio, you can only have 15 at this time.
One of the side issues, aside from the damage and everything, we're going to come back to that.
Sure, that's a whole separate issue,
yeah,
right?
I've
absolutely.
Noticed, even at drive-thrus where they put screens up in the windows and so forth, the additional cost of doing business, even if you didn't have to shut down, is going to cause an increase in prices.
Absolutely.
Right, it has to. Mm-hmm. But the businesses are just in a world of hurt, and of course now it's gotten quite a bit worse. But and you talk about the waiters and the waitresses and everything. It's just it's a real, real sticky situation. Mm-hmm. What more than restaurants do we want to talk about?
Absolutely.
What about things like movie theaters and what about things like offices and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of pieces in play, right? So we need to keep numbers down. So those mass gatherings are currently capped at 50. So if you think about a place like a school or a large industrial office, if you will, or a large office, there are ratios that you like to think about, not necessarily looking at an entire industry. I know, for example, when we looked at reopening some of our salons.
Okay.
Good one. Right? We had a lot of conversations about, what about our salon owners who have a small studio with one chair and it's one professional stylist in there working with a client one-on-one? That is much different than some of our larger salons that we see that have 30 plus chairs and people moving all around, going from the washbowl to the haircut station, mm-hmm. to the checkout and all of that. So I think logistically from different industries, we have to apply one-on-one ratios or percentages, because we can't simply keep shuttering these businesses when some of them can and have had the ability for some time to be operating safely.
Yeah.
When I think about my stylist, she's one of the most highly trained people in sanitation, maybe next to my nurse sister-in-law. So they really are highly trained in decontamination and making sure everything's sanitary in their space.
Absolutely. Is there any difference in now? So the salons are open in Marion County?
Starting.
And what about barbershops?
Same thing. Starting on
okay.
June 1st, those were allowed to reopen by
Good.
Appointment only.
Yep.
And it was strongly suggested that both stylists and clients wear masks and PPE,
right,
but it's
right.
not always possible, right? Someone gave an example of getting an upper lip waxing. I've never had that. I'm blessed. I'm a blonde. So hearts go out to all you ladies that have to wax your upper lip, or guys that have to shave. But like, you would have to remove certain PPE to get a service.
Right.
So if you're getting your nails done, you have to take off your gloves. If you're getting your upper lip waxed, you have to take off your mask. And so that really boils down to the risk that the client is willing to take as well as the stylist.
Sure.
And so, again, there's a lot of minutiae to it. But if there's any field that I feel like was ready and chomping at the bit to go, it was really those stylists. I have a lot of small salons and shops in my district.
What about churches?
So definitely outdoor church services, no caps on the number of attendees. And churches are currently asked to adhere to the 50 or fewer for indoor services. And what's different, Danny, you might think about this. Someone asked me, well, what about a wedding in a church? So a wedding in a church is different from a public religious service. A public religious service, we would want to cap at 50 or fewer because it is a mass gathering to the public. You can still have your wedding, but again, you aren't allowed to have more than 50 people there as well, again, because we want to keep those numbers down, reduce the spread, and
which
flatten the
could
curve.
Could be a big problem in big families.
You know, I come from an Italian family. I'm married okay. to the Sicilian Carlinos, and I can tell you that has been the hardest part. When you look at just having a small gathering,
there's no such thing.
Father's Day is coming up, right? We just physically can't do that without ostracizing a branch of our family. So yeah. It's been really tough. We do a lot of digital meetings and things. But at the end of the day, we think about people like Grandpa Carlino, who's in his 70s. He's an amazing guy, retired from Rolls Royce. He's president of the Indiana Photographic Society. He's one of the most amazing men I've ever met in my life. But I don't know if he got COVID that he'd be able to come out on the other side. And that's why when I lead and when I talk to people and I encourage them to wear their mask, I've always been a hand washing freak. Of course, I'm a teacher, but I think about the Grandpa Carlinos in everybody's life.
Sure.
And at the end of COVID, I want them to still be able to come to our family dinners and chastise us and do all those fun things that they do.
Now, I talked to Paul, the owner of My Pet Carnivore.
Okay.
They have about 25 or 30 employees. They've been operating straight through. They haven't lost any employees.
That's amazing.
They haven't needed to hire anybody else. They're running two shifts now. His business has increased. I'm not sure why, but we'll talk to him about that in a couple of weeks. So it's some businesses have done very well. If I were still in the retail grocery business, on the one hand, I'd be working my butt off, and I'd be putting up with a lot of complaints about out of stocks and so forth.
Sure.
But on the other hand, everybody's shopping for groceries big time.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a mom of a 10-year-old, and I had the ability to send her to school, and she would get two meals a day at school. And as much as I wanted to pack her lunch, she likes to eat the school lunch. We have a wonderful school lunch program. And now I'm making three meals a day or whatever. So definitely, I can definitely see those grocery budgets increasing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is good for the grocers, but it's been a struggle, I think, for some families because we're working. I know I have two jobs, and I was a stay-at-home mom school teacher for the last 2.5 months.
You missed me. Oh, two jobs being librarian and city councilwoman.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yep. And a mom.
I was hoping there was another.
Nope.
And a mom.
No,
yes.
That's what. Yeah. So, I mean, I was one of those parents who had to. There wasn't childcare for me. I'm not a first responder. So, full-time. I haven't been away from my daughter for very long, much since Friday, March 13th.
You say your daughter's 10?
She's 10.
Fifth grade?
She's just entering fifth
Going
grade this
into
fall.
Fifth grade.
Yes, you're exactly right, Danny.
Great. I remember when I was 10, I was in the fifth grade.
It's a magical time.
Yeah. So what other industries are we missing here? What about off? You've got an office environment, and you've probably found out that you have a certain number of workers who can just work from home.
Absolutely.
More than before. But is that 50% also? So you're in a high rise.
Remote working is still encouraged, is highly encouraged.
Okay.
Remote working, if you can do it, you highly encouraged. So, for example, I know firsthand staff at the city council building, in the city county building who work for the council, if they're able to work from home, we encourage them to do so. We had one staff member whose wife just gave birth to a baby. And so we highly encouraged him to stay home and enjoy his new baby and hop on Zoom, and we can make policy and have
sure
you move forward in the work that
what
we do.
What about city county council meetings?
We've had every meeting. We have not
on
missed
Zoom?
A single meeting. We've done it through WebEx, essentially as Zoom. Yep. We've taken public comment digitally. Those comments are then read aloud and become part of the public record.
Okay. Here's a loaded question.
Sure.
Do you think it'll, once we're past this, will you keep doing it digitally, or do you think you'll go back in person for the city council meetings?
Sure. So I know currently we need to follow what is the governor's executive order.
Sure.
So long as he allows those to occur, I would imagine to some extent at least the full council, Danny, will meet remotely. Why? There are 25 members in the body. Not only that, there are a number of staff. Of course, we invite press and media. And then beyond that, we have different branches of our city government that will sometimes come in person, whether it be parks director, public works director. And so the number can quickly get up to over 100.
And you got the public that you used to
invite.
And
then you're not even factoring in the public into that math equation. So absolutely, I think we should probably err on the side of caution for those larger meetings. Some committee meetings, though, can get really packed, and they can get heated. And when we have these conversations in really closed spaces, if you've ever been in the small meeting committee room in the city county building, it's very narrow. It's very
never
small. Theater style seating. You're very right on top of one another. Again, it's a small space that's not really conducive to always social distancing. And so what I would say is I imagine the city to continue some of those digital meetings until we can get or maybe we would go back in person, but would not open it to the public and still keep some of that digital public comment piece. But again, large numbers in small spaces is what we're trying to avoid right now. And so I would say those meetings fall in that category.
We're going to do another underwriter break, but host break, and talk about next week's show. And we'll be back on the next. I want to get your take on the chance that there'll be fans at the Indy 500 on August 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the Colts and the Pacers? I know the Indians are dead for this summer, but we'll come back to that after we talk a little bit about My Pet Carnivore and next week's show. We want to thank Paul and Suzanne at My Pet Carnivore for being the host of the studios of 91.9 FM. My Pet Carnivore is a pet food distribution warehouse on Shelby Street in Fountain Square, where Paul and Suzanne and their extremely busy staff distribute frozen dog and cat food to dog and cat food only owners only. And I understand some of the meat, I got this from Pace today, is actually beaver meat. I knew there was beef and chicken, but I didn't know there was beaver meat in all this stuff. At any rate, we want to thank them for hosting the studios of 91.9 FM. Next week's guest will be Wynn Smiley, the CEO of Alpha Tau Omega Fraternity. We're going to talk about fraternities, the issues of hazing and sexual harassment on campus, and also the need that fraternities have, just as much as colleges have, for colleges to open back up in the fall. So that ought to be an interesting show as well. So we kind of skipped over the movie theater thing.
Yep. Similar to that large gathering, right?
Like, where are we? When can movie theaters open back up in Marion County, or do we even have a
date? We need to look statewide on that one, because that's something that even at the state level, those are not opening. Again, tourism, those conventions, those mass gatherings, those are things that we are really pushing far out into the future.
But a movie theater is not a convention.
Correct.
So is there any kind of opening date for movie theaters?
Currently in stage three where we are now, no.
Okay.
It is far off. I would expect
it
to be later in the summer, possibly as early as the fall, depending on what our numbers look like moving forward. But what I think about is, again, it's an enclosed space, and those seats are very close to one another, and you have to think about...
If you could do it every four or five seats, maybe.
But then... Would we restrict families? What about a family who has maybe a toddler and a 5-year-old, and they don't
tricky.
Stay still, and you they don't want you to put a seat in between them? And then I think it can get
tricky.
A little bit dicey. And I don't pretend to sit here and be an expert on these numbers. I don't work for the Board of Health or
sure.
or for
it doesn't some sound good.
But I would just say for the indoor theater, no. But absolutely, somebody who grew up on Tibbs, if you have
the
seen
Tibbs
Drive-In is absolutely thriving right now. And honestly, the community grassroots work that they're doing, I could not be more proud. Shout out to a Ben Davis graduate who's married. She's married to the owner. She is the owner, I guess, co-owner of Tibbs Drive-In, and they are hosting church services outdoors.
I've seen that.
They are just
That's
doing
great.
Wonderful work, and to see Tibbs Drive-In, a West Side mainstay doing that just fills my heart with joy.
Even before this, I wanted to take my 9, 7, and 5-year-old grandkids to the Tibbs Drive-In, pop popcorn, have them sit on the roof of the car.
It's
like
the best.
We used to do with our kids.
It's the best. And
we used to do it with our kids at Westlake, but you get,
absolutely.
Maybe drive-ins will come back.
I think so. I wish, we had one in Claremont for a long time that's gone.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time, my husband and I. But yeah, I think it's a good thing. It keeps us contained sort of in our realm of
unit.
Germs, if you will. Yeah. Absolutely. And we can still enjoy film. We can still engage with the arts. And we can still feel those feelings that film brings us.
Yeah,
that's what we need right now.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What do you think? And I know I'm just asking your opinion. Do you think there'll be fans at the Indy 500?
So again, I look at what the governor is going to do, right? Because we have a state fair that's usually planned in August.
The state fair, I
hadn't
thought about.
Now, that comes before the Indy 500 currently on the calendar. Now, forgive me if I'm out of the loop. I do read a lot and I try to stay on top of everything, but there's a chance that I missed it. I do know the Marion County Fair is going to go off with different parameters in place. The Marion County Fair is a go.
That's a good to know.
So definitely dig up on that, and I will work to inform people as we get closer to that. But I'm actually looking at the state fair as the thermometer, Danny, on what will happen for the Indy 500. You've got a lot of folks.
Is the state fair that early?
It's in early August. It's the first couple weeks of August.
All right.
I want to say that first and second week, or maybe the second and third week. Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's the plan for the fair? They'll limit the number of people that come in there, right?
I would say so. I think it gets dicey in a couple of realms, right? We have barns where we show 4-H animals and other things. We have some part and parcels of the fair that I would imagine could go off without a hitch. But when I think about the Midway and I think about the carnival rides and I think about some of those things, those high touch areas where it's almost impossible to clean the Ferris wheel
every
carts as they come around
it.
Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the types of things that I'm thinking through that make me feel like if we do see the state fair in early August this year, it won't look like what we traditionally think of it as. And don't be surprised if there's not some sort of crowd control that looks like advanced ticket purchasing, or once we're at capacity, we're closing doors, or maybe we only have certain gates that are entrances and certain gates that are exits. I think it might be a management nightmare that maybe the state looks at postponing or possibly canceling.
You could postpone it. But then again, if you postpone it, how are you going to get all the vendors in there? And
that's a major concern. Major concern.
We know there aren't going to be any Pacer games here this year, this season, but the Colts and the Pacers for the fall, what are we thinking? What do you think?
Well, first of all, I'm a huge, huge sports fan. I'm a huge Colts fan, huge Pacers fan, right?
We're going to run out of time so quickly.
I just really want those things to happen. But at the end of the day, we want to keep Hoosiers safe. So stay tuned and definitely want those to happen. And if we have to watch them from home, that's what we'll do. Go Pacers, go Colts.
Amen. And go Indians next year.
There it is.
Okay. Krista Carlino, city councilwoman. Thank you so much for being our guest today on
the
Indy's Trusted Servant Show on 91.9. Don't forget, next week, Win Smiley, ATO Fraternity. And it's great to be back on the air every week on the Indy's Trusted Servant Show.